Welcome. You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast, the show that cuts through the fog of war and updates you about the ongoing conflict in Ukraine. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts.
Hello, I'm Marina Yevshan, your host of the Russia-Ukraine War Report Podcast, and today is May the 9th, 2024. It has been 3,755 days since Russia started covert military operations in Crimea. 10 years and 79 days since the start of the Russia-Ukraine war, and 2 years and 76 days since Russia expanded its war of aggression. Today's podcast looks at events that happened on Wednesday and Thursday morning. During the podcast, you will find the Russia-Ukraine war map helpful to visualize the areas discussed. A link is in the podcast description. There are map updates today. The Russia-Ukraine war report is compiled by our team from around the world. Today's report includes information from our direct contacts and journalists in Ukraine, the Russian Ministry of Defense, the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine morning reports, operational commands in north, south, and east of Ukraine, open source intelligence, our in-house team of analysts and geospatial experts, and pro-Ukrainian and pro-Russian male bloggers and social media channels with a track record of trying to be accurate. We have one mission – the truth, because the truth matters. Here is my daily assessment. There are only small changes from yesterday, so if you want to skip ahead, it's okay. I won't even know. 1. We maintain there is an elevated risk of another large-scale drone and missile attack against Ukrainian civilians and civilian infrastructure through May the 10th. 2. Ukrainian personnel shortages are extending deployment times, limiting troop rotations, and forcing combat and effective units to maintain defensive positions, which is contributing to Russia's ongoing tactical advances. 3. Russian forces continue to exploit the delays in significant military aid from the US, the Czech Republic-led ammunition initiative, the European Union, and the United Kingdom, carrying out 146 attacks on Wednesday. 4. While we assess that critical ammunition has started to reach frontline Ukrainian units, it will take another 1 to 3 weeks for significant military aid to arrive. The tactical situation should stabilize by the end of May. 5. Renewed Russian chatter of a looming large-scale attack to capture the city of Kharkiv is a psychological operation. 6. Recent direct threats toward the United Kingdom and France, and autocrat of Russia Vladimir Putin ordering their first tactical nuclear drills since the end of the Cold War, highlight how the world is caught in the mutually assured destruction and stability paradox. 7. Russia's trampling of international humanitarian law has been accelerating since March the 22nd. We maintain that the willful ignoring of blatant Russian war crimes by international watchdogs will continue to encourage escalation. 8. Multiple European government intelligence agencies have also assessed that the disjointed response to Russian threats directed at Ukraine's allies is encouraging Moscow to expand its global hybrid warfare campaigns. We maintain that continued inaction and the excessively risk-averse rules of engagement support an environment ripe for a serious international incident. 9. The attacks on Ukraine's energy infrastructure have incrementally increased the chance of an intentional nuclear accident at multiple nuclear facilities in Ukraine, and the situation is more serious, especially at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, than what the International Atomic Energy Agency is reporting. Russia's attack on Ukraine's energy infrastructure caused major damage, and attacks on civilians continued. Ukrainian air defenses shot down a Kh-59 or 69 air-to-surface guided missile over the Dnipropetrovsk region without incident. And on the night of May the 8th and the 9th, Russia launched 20 Shahed 136 one-way drones from occupied Crimea, with 17 intercepted. Addressing the situation after yesterday's Russian missile and drone attacks, the head of Ukrenergo, Volodymyr Kudrytsky, said that power outages for industrial customers are almost guaranteed, and for households it will depend on the ability of the public to reduce consumption. Quote, "Many important power stations were damaged, including 3 power stations of the DTEC company and 2 hydroelectric power plants, so we really feel this deficit. The damage is quite large-scale, and the loss in power generation is significant. It is so considerable that even power imports from Europe are not able to fully compensate for the deficit in the power system," unquote. Severe weather downed power lines in the Kirovohrad, Sumy and Chernihiv regions, complicating the situation, and power was out in 8 more oblasts due to the Russian attack. Moving to assessment. The Russian campaign to destroy Ukraine's energy infrastructure, which started in October 2022, is not meant to impact Ukraine's ability to, quote, produce military products as well as transfer Western weapons and military equipment to the line of combat conflict, as the Russian Ministry of Defense, or ARMAD, claimed in their May the 8th morning report. In our assessment, this is in defiance of the International Criminal Court, which issued arrest warrants on March the 5th against Lieutenant General Sergei Kabulash and Admiral Viktor Sokolov for, quote, the war crime of directing attacks at civilian objects, the war crime of causing excessive incidental harm to civilians or damage to civilian objects, and the crime against humanity of inhumane acts. 5 days later, Russia restarted its campaign and violated Article 56 of international humanitarian law by attacking hydroelectric dams. Ukraine will not be able to provide sufficient electrical power during the winter of 2025 to provide heat for its citizens. By destroying Ukraine's electrical grid and generation capacity now, Moscow knows the world will have long forgotten the current attacks. These strikes are a continuation of crimes against humanity of inhumane acts with a maximalist goal of freezing Ukraine's population to death, as Russia did in Syria in 2016. The world must do more, much more. In the Kharkiv Oblast, Russia bombed a football pitch in the Saltivsky district of the city of Kharkiv, where children were playing. 7 people were wounded, including 4 children from 8 to 15 years old, who are hospitalized. The 8-year-old girl, who was near the field at the time of the attack, with a 32-year-old woman, has a minor brain injury. 2 other children are in critical condition. Russian shelling of the Donetsk Oblast wounded 2 civilians in Krasnohorivka and 1 in Petrivka. Russian forces also shelled the village of Veselyanka in the Zaporizhia Oblast, wounding a woman. In the Kherson Oblast, 12 villages and settlements and the city of Kherson were bombed, hit by drones, and shelled by artillery, injuring 1 person. The damage to the railroad infrastructure in the city of Kherson from a midday attack was repaired, and rail service between Kyiv and Mykolaiv has restarted. Here is today's action report. On May the 8th, the General Staff of the Armed Forces of Ukraine, that's GSAFU, reported Russia carried out 146 assaults across the line of conflict. In the last 10 days, there have been 1,158 separate attacks, with a 7-day moving average of 114. Russian forces significantly increased activity in the Avdiivka and Staromlinivka areas of operation, or AOs, and we continue to expect heavy fighting to restart within the next 3 to 5 days in the Kostyantynivka AO near Chasiv Yar. While more ammunition is arriving on the front lines for Ukrainian forces, it is uneven and still not fast enough. The Secretary of Defense for the United States, Lloyd Austin, said that, quote, not all the weapons have reached the front, and that it was still too early to assess the impact renewed aid will have. In the Soledar AO, Ukrainian forces were forced to fall back due to a lack of ammunition and resources. During yesterday's missile and drone attack, Ukrainian air defenses achieved a remarkable 1-for-1 ratio for intercepts. Every air defense missile fired reached its target. That makes the 78% success rate even more remarkable and highlights the skills of the Ukrainian armed forces. It also shows that Ukraine's air defense remains in a critical state. During the first week of May, the VKS, that's the Russian Aerospace Forces, dropped 900 aerial bombs of various configurations, which closely matched the number used in the previous week. The primary aircraft used by the VKS is the Su-34. Ukraine needs to be sufficiently equipped to regain air parity and force Russian aircraft to operate further away from the front lines. Case in point, on May the 8th, the VKS carried out 90 airstrikes across Ukraine. We updated the table for Russian versus Ukrainian equipment losses using information from the Oryx database, but there is too much information to go through in the podcast. You can read more in our Almost Daily Situation report. There is a link in the podcast description. Now, let's talk about what happened on the battlefield. There were small changes in territorial control, and this is a good time to open up our war map. There is a link in the podcast description. Ready? Here we go. Starting in the Kharkiv Oblast, Russian forces continued their attacks in the Kupianskoye. Mutual fighting was reported north and northwest of Sinkivka and near Ivanivka. A Russian sabotage and reconnaissance squad crossed the Ukrainian border near Pylna. The unit was discovered, engaged, suffered losses, and retreated into Russian territory. Both combatants crossed the border frequently, and in our assessment, this was not part of setting conditions for a larger attack. In the Svatovoye of Kharkiv and Luhansk oblasts, Russian forces tried to advance in the direction of Berestovo, and there were reports of mutual fighting northeast of Stelmachivka. In the Kremennaya, Russian forces probed Ukrainian defense near Makiivka and east of Nevsky, with no change in the situation. Fighting also continued south of Dubrova and Kuzmine. In the Siversky of the Luhansk Oblast, Russian forces restarted their attacks east of Bilohorivka and continued their attempts to advance on Verkhnyokamensky from Zolotarivka. Let's talk about the Donbas and the northeastern part of the Donetsk Oblast. In the Siversk and Soledar rayons, Russian forces continued their attacks east and south of Spirne, southeast of Vyimka, at Vesele, and south of Rozdolivka. Ukrainian forces defending Siversk are experiencing personnel and ammunition shortages, particularly on the northern flank of Soledar. Russian forces advanced to the edge of Vesele, with Ukrainian sources reporting the village was captured. Russian forces have also made progress toward Rozdolivka. The settlement of Siversk has been critical to the defense of Slovyansk and Liman and is a key logistics node. Protecting its perimeter has blocked Russian attacks from occupied Severodonetsk and Lysychansk since October 2022. In the Konstantinivka AO, the Russian operational pause continued. Attempts to advance toward the Novy microdistrict and deeper into Ivanivske were stopped. Ukrainian officials reported there were still 679 civilians in Chasiv Yar who refused to evacuate, and that supporting them with humanitarian aid was becoming increasingly difficult. To the south, mutual fighting was ongoing north of Klishivka and southeast of Andriivka. In the Toretsk-New York AO, Armad reported fighting in the area of Shumy. In the southwestern part of the Donetsk Oblast, Russian forces intensified their attacks in the Avdiivka AO, conducting 45 assaults. Russian forces discontinued their attacks in the direction of New York while attempting to push through Ukrainian defenses around Ocheretene. A geolocated video showed that Russian troops had made marginal gains near Novoalexandrivka, advancing approximately 200 meters further north. From the railroad grade parallel to the T-511 highway, Russian forces attempted to advance toward Yevhenivka and Sokol without success. Armad reported fighting continued in the area of Solovyovo. Heavy fighting continued east of Novopokrovske, where a Bradley infantry fighting vehicle with the 47th Motor Infantry Brigade destroyed a Russian T-80 tank using a TOW anti-tank missile. South of Berdychi, heavy fighting continued near Semenivka. Fighting also continued east of Umanske, in Netailove, and in the garden area south of Pervomayske. Russian forces briefly reached the edge of the Ukrainian firebase at Nevelske, but were pushed back to their earlier defensive lines. In the Vuhledar AO, Russian forces continued to be held in part of and near the refractory factory in Krasnohorivka. Russian troops were able to advance from Staromikhailivka from the east and re-entered the residential area of the settlement. Airstrikes from the VKS continued, complicating the Ukrainian defense. South of Krasnohorivka, Russian forces continued their operational pause, with only positional fighting and probing attacks reported east of Georgievka and on the edge of Novomikhailivka. Russian forces restarted significant attacks in the Staromlinivka AO. After being pushed out of Urozhaine, Russian troops carried out 19 assaults on Staromayorsk from the south, southwest, and west. Russian forces reached the first homes in the southwest part of the settlement, and Ukrainian forces withdrew from the tree line to the west.
You're listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. Our team of journalists, researchers, and analysts is funded by readers, listeners, and viewers just like you. To support independent journalism, please consider becoming a patron. You can find us on patreon.com at Malcontent News.
Here is my theater-wide update. Martial law and mobilization in Ukraine were extended through August the 11th, after the Verkhovna Rada almost unanimously approved President Volodymyr Zelensky's request. The Rada also supported the second reading of a draft law that will permit the mobilization of convicts into the armed forces of Ukraine. Convicts cannot be forcibly mobilized and will have to be fit for military duty and have at least 3 years of their prison sentence remaining. Individuals who committed crimes against the national security of Ukraine, gender-based violence, encroachment on the lives of law enforcement officers, killed two or more persons, conducted particularly serious corruption offensives, or held particularly responsible positions, regardless of the crime, would be ineligible. Individual mobilization would have to be approved by the court and the commander of the military unit they are assigned to. The draft law also requires penal soldiers to serve in special military units. At the end of 2021, according to the Institute for Crime and Justice Policy Research, Ukraine had approximately 50,000 people in its prison system. It's estimated that between 15,000 to 20,000 meet the criteria to be mobilized. After expanding its war of aggression against Ukraine, Russia created its first penal unit with 1,000 convicts assigned to the now-defunct private military company Wagner Group in June 2022. The 1st Battalion suffered over 90% casualties but was seen as a success, with Russian autocrat Putin approving Project K. In February 2023, Moscow blocked Wagner Group from recruiting convicts and formed their own penal units under the command of the Ministry of Defense. Analyzing Russian missile debris from the May 8th attack, a new modification to the Kh-101 cruise missile was exposed. Russia added a second 400-kilogram fragmentation warhead in addition to the high explosive payload. British intelligence believes their modification has cut the range in half, but has made the missiles more effective on non-hardened targets. One of the missiles was shot down over Kyiv, and the serial number indicated it had been built in April 2024. The general director of Ukroboronprom, Herman Smetanin, said that Ukraine is now matching the production rate of UAVs similar to the Iranian-sourced Shahed 136. We have maintained that Russia and Iran can produce up to 400 Shaheds a month for use in Ukraine. Poland reported that the military no longer operates the S-200V Vega air defense system, and all inventory is gone. They didn't say where the inventory went to. The Ministry of Energy of the United Kingdom added almost $25 million in emergency humanitarian aid to the Ukrainian Energy Support Fund. The funds can be used to purchase equipment to repair damaged energy infrastructure, strengthen physical protection, and provide backup power. The President of the Czech Republic, Petr Pavel, said that the first 180,000 artillery shells for Ukraine will be delivered in June, and confirmed that the shipment was not moving as fast as he would like. Another 300,000 artillery rounds are in the process of being purchased, and if funding could be secured, another 700,000 are available. Here is what's happening in the land of Mobix, mobilization, and Mir. On May the 7th, autocrat Putin was inaugurated for his fifth term as president of the Russian Federation, securing his position as a dictator in all but name for life. While Putin knows that his people love and adore him, all communications in the center of Moscow were suppressed, including GPS, GLONASS, cellular coverage, Wi-Fi, and internet access. The head of the Russian Orthodox Church and former KGB agent, Patriarch Kirill, offered a prayer for Putin, calling him Your Highness, which contained a warning at the end. Quote, Saint Alexander Nevsky is close to you and me because we are both from St. Petersburg. This man did not show any grace to enemies, but he became famous as a saint. Because it is one thing to protect your motherland from the enemies, and another thing to smash your enemies right and left because you are taking out your personal phobias on them or to achieve your career interests. It was at that moment a closed-eyed Putin looked up at the Moscow Patriarch, who ended with, quote, God grant that the end of the century means the end of your stay in power. The reference to Nevsky is interesting, given an oversized place in Russian history due to his stopping the eastward expansion of the Teutonic Order of Knights. Historians believe that in his late years, Nevsky became subservient to the great Khan Batu of the Golden Horde because he viewed the West, the Crusaders, and the Holy Catholic Church as a bigger threat to Orthodoxy than the Golden Horde of the East. The Russian princes of Muscovy would go on to become the collectors of local tribute for the Khan. For Westerners, the comparison seems almost insulting, but for Russians, Nevsky is an incredibly important historical figure. Putin's acceptance speech was described as dull. He never mentioned Ukraine, instead framing the ongoing war of aggression as one against the entire West. Quote, We are a united and great people, and together we will overcome all obstacles. We will realize everything we have planned, and together we will win. He went on to say that, quote, The interests and security of the peoples of Russia will be above all for me, and that the Russian Federation, which, quote, faces serious challenges, will go through a difficult period with dignity. There is rampant speculation that Minister of Defense of Russia Sergei Shoigu will be replaced between May the 10th and the 15th by exiled General of the Army Sergei Suravikin. On May the 8th, in a secret hearing, a Moscow court decided to hold Deputy Minister of Defense Timur Ivanov in pretrial detention through June the 23rd. Ivanov, one of Shoigu's closest deputies, is accused of embezzlement and corruption from 2016 to 2024 that could exceed 1 trillion rubles, that's $10.9 billion. To put that into perspective, that would be equivalent to embezzling $136 billion from the United States military budget over 7 years. Kremlin watchers believe that Shoigu had to know about the depth of the corruption due to how Ivanov flaunted his wealth and the amount of money involved. Russian propagandists shared pictures of Suravikin on an airplane flying back to Moscow. Once the commander of the VKS and all ground troops in Ukraine, Suravikin spent up to 2 months under house arrest after the Prigozhin rebellion in June 2023 and was stripped of his command. He later reappeared in Africa and has been quietly involved in transitioning private military company Wagner Group's African operations to the Kremlin-run Africa Corps. Moving to assessment. Since October 2022, there have been almost continuous rumors that Shoigu and the chief of the general staff of the Russian armed forces, Valery Gerasimov, will be fired. The arrest of Ivanov and the investigation expanding to two more deputy ministers of defense has likely put Shoigu in the most precarious political position of his career. Gerasimov, who has been almost invisible for a year, is in a substantially worse place. Named the commander of all Russian ground forces in Ukraine in January 2023, the troops under his command have not achieved a single strategic military goal. If Suravikin were to become the new Minister of Defense or the first deputy, we assess this would be a negative for Ukraine. Unlike Shoigu and Gerasimov, Suravikin is competent. The biggest challenge to considering this more than a rumor is Putin's unforgiving nature to anyone who he believes has worked against him. Suryavikin going from house arrest with the FSB to semi-civilian exile in Africa to becoming the Minister of Defense in less than a year is an almost impossible redemption story. Moscow held its annual Victory Day parade on Thursday morning, with the leaders of Kazakhstan, Laos, Guinea-Bissau, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan, Belarus, Turkmenistan, and Cuba attending. In a possible nod to St. Alexander Nevsky, Putin declared that during World War II, all of Europe supported Germany, while China was a hero nation. Yes, he really said that. And that's what we know. Your support of my home, Ukraine, helps us make history and protect the future for all.
You've been listening to the Malcontent News Russia-Ukraine War Podcast. To help keep us independent, please consider providing financial support by becoming a patron. Want on-demand news in your hand? Download the Google News app and make Malcontent News one of your favorites to receive breaking news updates. Thank you for listening.